WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Bill Maher, is a comic who takes politics very seriously. He's the host of Politically Incorrect. Every night after Nightline's examination of an issue in the news, Bill Maher and his guests argue about the issues, often going for the laughs. The presidential candidates are hoping to get laughs, too, in their attempts to prove they're likable and funny. George W. Bush was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno last night. Tonight, it's Al Gore's turn. They've both done The Letterman Show. Bill Maher is pretty cynical about these appearances.
It bothers me that any show having a candidate on treats that candidate like a movie star, yes, because they're not movie stars, and it's one thing to pimp for a movie, but these guys aren't making a movie, they're proposing to run the world. So, yes, I think it's extremely wrong to write comedy material for them and hand it to them and don't tell the audience that and let the audience think that they're brilliant and fluff up their image and give them a personality and give them a free ride. If you are having a candidate on, you are by definition then a journalist, a real journalist, and you should be doing the journalist's job, which is vetting their proposals and holding their feet to the fire. There's a reason why these candidates don't come on my show, because I wouldn't do for them what they get done everywhere else.
Have you invited them?
Of course.
You know, I think the candidates during this campaign are trying to hold back, at least they had been, trying to hold back from being too negative, worried that that voters
right.
react badly to negativity. Are there negative things you wish they would say about each other?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not for Gore, but I do think he's more qualified than Bush, and I think he's the one who has mostly been hurt by this silly idea that you don't talk about somebody else's record because that would be mean. As Ralph Nader said the other day, he said, if Gore can't defeat the bumbling Texas governor with his horrendous record, then what good is he anyway? And I sort of agree with that. I can't help but think that Bill Clinton is like a Rottweiler right now behind a fence, you know, barking, but he can't get out. And he knows that he could take George Bush apart in 2 minutes. He took his father apart, and his father was president and a lot more qualified. The idea that this Bush guy is getting this free pass and no one is mentioning that he's not terribly bright, that he's been in office for 6 years, I mean, a thinner resume, I can't imagine. That his record in Texas on things that are important to people in this election, like health care, like pollution, and even like education, is lousy. It's just amazing. That also that he's a gutter fighter like the other ones. He pretends to hide behind this Bush integrity as if Bush integrity has any meaning in politics. It doesn't. They fight as dirty as anybody else. When I think of the Bushes, I think of Willie Horton. I think of George Bush telling me that Clarence Thomas was the most qualified person to be on the Supreme Court. I think of a lot of dirty political games they played. Not worse than most, but certainly not better than most. And somehow he is able to rise above that because nobody seems to question it. He's as big a liar and exaggerator as Gore. Oprah Winfrey asked George Bush, what's the biggest misconception of this campaign? And he said, well, that I'm here because of my father and my name. Well, that's a misconception? You mean anyone else who had only been in public service for 6 years would now be the nominee of their party without a famous name and a lot of money? Who's he kidding?
Now, you're a comic who's very politically absorbed, and most nights your show is about politics, often about the campaign now. The candidates have really been trying to show that they have a sense of humor and that they can be likable, because likability seems to be this really important voter issue for this election. As a professional comic yourself, do you care if presidential candidates have a sense of humor?
No, and people shouldn't either. And they should be told when one of them is reading a top 10 list that that man didn't write it. That's what's really unfair. You know, at least when Clinton went on Arsenio Hall and played the sax, at least he played the sax. You know, they weren't piping that in from some karaoke bar. He was doing it. These guys, you know, sometimes have their material prepared for them, which is a kind of a double hoodwink on the public. But the public is really the ones who are at fault at this. The fact that they care so much about, as you say, whether these guys are funny and likable. I've heard lots of people quoted in the paper when they do man in the street interviews that say, yeah, we know Gore is smarter, and he's more capable, and yeah, I think he's more caring, and he's closer to me on the issues. But, you know, he's a know-it-all. I'm going to vote for Bush, because that's really what this is all about, is, you know, you don't want the know-it-all guy there. You don't want the smart guy in there. You want the guy you want to have a beer with. Well, you know, that's what's wrong with democracy. A lot of dumb people are voting.
Why do you think that there's this fear now of, well, he's too smart. He's a smarty pants.
Because people are not smart, and they feel uncomfortable around someone who's smarter. I mean, that's just a great indication of how stupid they can be. That even if you're not such a bright person, even if you couldn't run the world, wouldn't you just want to have the guy who could in there, as opposed to the guy you'd want to have a beer with? You know, I mean, I keep calling it the Cheers election. I mean, one of them, Gore, is like Cliff, the obnoxious know-it-all, and one of them is Norm, that's Bush. He's the lovable slob that you want to drink with. But, you know, even if you were just electing the president of Cheers, you'd elect Cliff.
My guest is comic Bill Maher, the host of Politically Incorrect. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Bill Maher. He's the host of Politically Incorrect. Now, you've said on your show that you're really not for Gore or for Bush. You're supporting Nader in this election. Why?
Yeah, but, you know, I just was told by somebody that Nader stole my Boer and Gush, so now I'm not voting for him. No, I'm kidding. Oh. I'm still going to vote for Nader. But Ralph, if you're out there, buddy, you know, I was doing that bit like a year ago. No, I love Ralph. Ralph's done my show since the very beginning. And of course, you know, he is an icon, and as far as I'm concerned, as people go who live in Washington and maintain their integrity, I certainly don't agree with him on every issue. I mean, I'll be honest with you, if he had a chance to win, I would have to look at this again. But I'm voting for Mr. Nader because, one, he does have incredible integrity. He actually is a politician who's getting up there and not pandering. He's saying what he truly believes. On many issues, we agree, like the drug war, like campaign finance, like the environment, big important issues like that. Not so much about economic stuff. But that's okay. You know, you never agree with anybody 100%. And I think what is most important in this election is building a framework for a third party. I just don't know where else in American life people would put up with having only two choices, especially when they're the two that we get stuck with in an election like this. So, yes, he's not going to win this time, but I highly resent these people who say, you know, you're not patriotic because you're going to wind up electing Bush. Well, maybe I don't think you're so patriotic for perpetuating this completely corrupt and broken system. I think a new start has to be made. So we have a difference of opinion, but don't say it's because we're unpatriotic that we're voting for Ralph Nader, or somehow it's an ego trip.
Well, how would you feel if the Nader vote tipped the election in favor of Bush?
I wouldn't care that much. I mean, I don't think Gore is that. I do think he's a better he would be a better president. He is certainly smarter, which is not hard to do when you're running against George Bush. And he's more qualified. And I just resent someone like Bush running, you know, basically as a case of entitlement to a job as high as the presidency. But Al Gore is deeply flawed, in my view, in many ways. And I also think he is a compromiser on many important issues like the environment, where he talks a lot, but I don't know if he really walks the walk. And sometimes, you know, you have to see how bad things can get before they get better. So it's impossible to predict how in the long run, the country would best be served by a sort of compromising Gore presidency, or by what probably will be environmentally a Bush disastrous presidency, but might excite people in the movement to get really serious about guarding our environment when they see what happens when someone who was owned by the oil companies gets into the White House.
You think it's pretty silly to evaluate a candidate on whether he has a good sense of humor or not. Nevertheless, I'm wondering if you think that any of the candidates have done things that struck you as very inadvertently funny.
Well, Bush speaks a language all his own that only his father could love. Yes, Bush says lots of things that are funny, like, I want to help you put food on your family. There's a whole list of them I read recently, but that's okay. I don't even hold that against him. We all misspeak, especially when you're in a position as he is, where you have to basically speak all day long and people are writing down what you are saying. I don't hold that against him. I don't hold against him that he doesn't know who the leaders of many foreign countries are. Very few people do who don't spend a lot of time in the State Department. So gaffes like that don't bother me. You know, I thought it was indicative when he said major league asshole because, I mean, here's a guy who's running on integrity. And integrity means, you know, having one face. And he literally was two-faced at that moment. He was smiling and waving to the crowd while under his breath he utters this sort of snide, guttural remark. I mean, it wasn't a horrible thing to say. It's a word everybody uses all the time. But we're not all running on the Restore Honor Integrity platform.
What about Gore? Has he done things that struck you as inadvertently funny?
Well, Gore, I can't, you know, he doesn't mangle the language like Bush. He looked funny at that first debate. He was all charted up with that makeup. That was pretty funny. No, he's, you know, he's much more sort of plodding and calculated. He's extremely calculating, you know. I mean, he's been doing this a lot longer, so he tends to slip up in the minor ways a lot less. He does, you know, have that problem with sort of exaggerating. But the truth is that a lot of the things that he said, even though he won't even fight for them because he knows that it's a losing battle against late-night comedians who make jokes about his image, but a lot of those things are not so ridiculous. I mean, he didn't quite invent the Internet, but he didn't say he invented the Internet. He said he took the lead in developing this, and that actually is the truth. I mean, Newt Gingrich said the same thing. Lots of people who have actually studied the issue. He was in Congress at a time when the Internet was just sort of a nascent operation that was being used only in military areas. And he saw that this was something that could be very valuable to people in the future for civilian uses. So it was sort of unfortunate the way it came out. And then once that sort of, you know, image got hung around his neck, he was dead as far as trying to talk his way out of it. But, you know, if that's the worst quality that he has, it would be good. Unfortunately, it's not the worst quality that he has.
And what do you think is?
That he doesn't have a spine, that he doesn't stand up as he keeps shouting at every rally, I'm going to fight for you, I'm going to fight for you. Well, he doesn't seem to want to fight for the, how many is it? 500,000 Americans who are rotting in jail as nonviolent drug offenders? I don't see him fighting for them, the guy who smoked so much pot when he was in college and living in Tennessee. Somehow he doesn't need to fight for those people.
Have the Bush or Gore campaigns called your office to complain about any of the sketches you've done or any of the comments that you've made on the show?
I don't think candidates ever call any TV show and complain. If they did, it would only give that show much more fodder to work with. I mean, because what are they going to do? What possible good could complaining do? I'm going to hear that and go, oh, you know what? You're right, George. You're a well-qualified man with a lot of integrity, and I don't know what I was thinking. No, I mean, I would probably air their complaints. What they can do to me, and they have done to me, is not let me get near them, because when I found out that they wouldn't do my show way back, I tried to get credentials so that I could, you know, stop by at a campaign rally and at least call out a question, but they won't, you know, they won't let me within 100 feet of them, which I wear as a badge of honor.
What question would you have called out?
To Bush? Some of the things we're talking about now. Why won't you talk about the drug war? Why is your integrity off limits? You know, he has that campaign commercial that says, disagree with me about the issues, but don't question my integrity. Well, I would just want to know why, of all politicians in the world, his integrity is just out of bounds for questioning. It seems like we do that with almost, no, not almost, all politicians. We question their integrity. He questions Gore's all the time. He says, the man has a lot of trouble telling the truth. The man, well, that's questioning his integrity. Why is his out of bounds?
The undecided voters have been playing a particularly big role in this campaign. And, you know, some of the networks after each debate had a focus group of undecided voters who they would question when the debate was over and see if they budged at all and what they thought the high points and the low points were. What do you think of the emphasis this year on the undecided voter?
Well, I've been saying for the past, oh, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks that if you're still undecided, you are a moron. How much time do you need? I mean, this thing has been going on for 2 years, and I only lose my patience with the undecideds because I do feel that if they could hurry up and make their minds a little sooner, we could get these elections out of the way faster, and they wouldn't have to go on and on and on. You know, in England, they stand for election. It takes 6 weeks. Here we run, and it's never ending. I don't know what these people are waiting for. I don't know what these guys could possibly do or say at this point that they haven't done or said. We don't need all this time running. I think it's very, very harmful to the process, which, of course, is irretrievably, at this moment, broken and corrupt anyway. And unless we get some sort of serious campaign finance going. But if they're going to have a comprehensive campaign finance bill, I think it would be a swell idea if they would include something about, why don't we just limit the amount of time we run to something sensible and civilized? Because no one is paying attention, apparently, for the first 2 years of it. So why don't we just have them get up during, I don't know, the fall, October, something. They don't really have that much to say. What they're saying isn't that truthful to begin with. You know, this nonsense about, we got to get our message out. Get your message out. To where? The caves of Carlsbad? I mean, who has any interest in actually voting hasn't heard the message ad nauseum. So I just don't understand that undecided thing. And you know, when I say that in my stand-up act, people just practically get out of their seats and cheer. So I know it must be hitting some kind of a nerve.
My guest is Bill Maher, the host of Politically Incorrect. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Bill Maher is my guest. He's the host of Politically Incorrect. During the impeachment, you ridiculed the Republicans leading the impeachment for being obsessed with Clinton's sex life. How do you think President Clinton will be remembered?
In the short term, the same way as he is now, which is silly and hypocritical and petty, with time, he will be remembered as an extremely effective president, perhaps a great president. Certainly no other country in the world would have obsessed over what happened to him. I guess that's putting it too much in the passive voice. He did commit the sin himself. And in my view, his big error was not the sin itself, which, of course, is not admirable, but come on, the man was in the 22nd year of a business-like marriage in a very high-stress job. I don't think it was so outlandish that he should get a little sex on the side, excuse me. But he should not have said, I never had sex with that woman. He should have said, it's none of your business. That is the one thing that I actually admire about George Bush, is that I don't know how much cocaine he did back in the 70s. I don't think it was very much. He just doesn't seem like the guy, the type of guy. He seems like the kind of guy when people were doing cocaine at a party, they would go in the bedroom and leave him out. And the New York Times did a fairly exhaustive study. They couldn't find anybody who ever did cocaine with George Bush. So whether he did it once, twice, whatever he did, what I like is that he says, I'm not going to play this game. I'm just not going to answer the question because it's a question that should not be asked. And that's what President Clinton should have done. Okay, having said that, I think his legacy will be fine. I mean, he presided over an era of unrivaled prosperity and falling rates and crime and welfare and teenage pregnancy, everything that the Republicans had been crowing that we needed to have happen in this country pretty much happened under William Horndog Clinton. So there's your wanton libertine. You know, all those sort of indicators of a healthier society went in the right direction under this guy. And, you know, I'm just amazed that considering the lies that politicians have told this country just in my lifetime, that we were winning the war in Vietnam, that we didn't break into the Watergate, that Clarence Thomas was this qualified person to be on the court, that Kennedy was shot by a lone gunman, that we weren't trading arms for hostages, that global warming isn't real, all these incredible lies, and the one that people can't get over is that, you know, Clinton got his hat blocked in the Oval Office. It just is unbelievable to me that they don't see, they have no perspective about lying.
Bill Maher is my guest, the host of Politically Incorrect. Oh, you know, joining us on today's show is also Al Franken, who wrote for years for Saturday Night Live, and he's been writing for the Gore campaign and doing stump speeches for Gore. Could you ever imagine yourself writing for a presidential candidate who you supported?
No. No, I don't think so. First of all, I mean, I'm only laughing because just the way my mind works, the kind of things that I say, no politician would ever want to go near it with a 10-foot pole. I mean, politically incorrect means the opposite of being political. Being political means being careful and spinning everything and giving it a varnish and not offending anyone. And basically, you know, sort of half lying most of the time. But the basis of my show and the meaning of that phrase, politically incorrect to me, is total honesty. And no politician can ever, you know, run with a policy of total honesty. They pretty much have to run with a policy of total dishonesty.
Now, you would describe yourself as cynical. I mean, your HBO special was even called Be More Cynical. Do you think that this election is making you any more or less cynical about American politics?
My cynicism is not the problem. This is what I do for a living. So, you know, I have a healthy dose of cynicism. What I was saying in my special is I was encouraging the American public to become more cynical and to not be fooled when people say we're too cynical, because I promise you, we are not too cynical. That is not the problem. We are too naive, which is sort of the opposite of being too cynical. We swallow too much bull. Look at this election. You know, I mean, the people who want to put Bush in office because they want to have a beer with them. That person needs to get a lot more cynical. And as I said in the special, do I want us to get as cynical as the people who make campaign ads? No, because that's the ultimate cynic. That's someone who knows how to manipulate people who aren't bright enough to see through what they're doing, and they know it. No, I don't want us to get to that degree of cynicism. I want us to get to be cynical enough to see through the ads, to see through what they're doing, to discount the things they say that should be discounted. But obviously it's not going to happen this time.
What are you going to be doing on election night?
I don't know. We're not working because obviously ABC's covering the election all night, so we would never even get on the air. So I don't think I'll be working. I'll probably be watching the returns at home. And then when it's decided, go out and get drunk.
Bill Maher, thank you so much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you.
Bill Maher is the host of ABC TV's Politically Incorrect.